Hey, we're all together again for another interview in Bear River City. We've got Nana Jen and Papa Bill and Dax and Avery and Kit and Punchy and Robin. And we're going to talk about fun animal stories from our lives. So here we go.
Can I start?
No, we're going to let Papa and Nana start. Maybe you can add in some later, okay? Okay. Nana, you going to start?
Sure. When I was 7, I wanted a rabbit. And one of my friends who just lived up the road, his name was Mike Tracy, and he had rabbits, and they had a bunch of babies. And I begged and begged and begged until my mom let me go pick one out, and I don't know why she did. I don't know what
feeling
motivated
generous.
Her to let me have a rabbit. But it was a little white rabbit with pink ears and pink eyes, and I named it Peaches. Because it was so soft and it had pink ears and a pink nose. And I kept it in the house until it got too big to keep in a box. And then I took it outside, and my dad was pretty good because he was kind of generous about animals. And so he made a place in the end of one of the sheds. It turned out to be the milk shed, but it wasn't a milk shed then. We just kept grain in it to feed the chickens and things like that, and he made a place where he made kind of a panel across so that the rabbit could stay in the back of the shed. And so I went out and fed it and hoped that it would be friendly, but it turned out to be a boy rabbit, so it wasn't as friendly as it might have been. But I would go out and feed it and water it and play with it. And then when it got bigger, it had a cement floor in the shed, but it was an old shed and an old cement floor. And I went out one day and the rabbit was gone.
It hopped out?
No, it dug out through the
cement. Oh, it dug out.
It dug out.
Diggers.
When it got big. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't keep it in after that, and I kept trying and trying, but I couldn't keep it in. But then he became kind of a yard rabbit, and he would live under the granary and places like that, and I would go out and leave lettuce and pieces of carrots and things like that for him, and so he was a yard rabbit after that. But that was one of my first, and may have been my first very own pet. Because all the other pets we had just kind of belonged to all of us. Because we had cats and dogs and horses. And, but I think that was probably my first very own.
And how long did he hang out around the farm?
I don't know.
For a while.
Yeah.
He got big.
Which leads to the wild bunny story in our yard.
Yes. Oh. I'm going to get the brownies out, though. So, Kit, will you hold this while Nana starts talking about the wild bunny?
Okay.
And
yes, does anybody remember how many years this was ago? 5 years?
15.
4 years?
The bunny that was living with the sheep at Nana's, and we'd go find it out under the...
Maybe 5 years ago?
I would guess maybe 7.
That long
summers
ago?
Summers were there.
Summers were there, so 5.
So they've been there 7 this year.
Okay.
So it would have been 6 years ago.
6 would make sense.
5 to 6 years ago.
Okay, we were just out in the yard one day, and Robin saw this rabbit. And I think we were picking raspberries or something, and she started chasing the rabbit to see if, and we didn't have rabbits, to see if she could catch it. And I don't know how she caught it, but she caught it.
I'm good at that kind of stuff.
She was out running through the raspberry patch and everything trying to catch that rabbit. And it was sort of a calico rabbit, kind of brown and white, and I think it had a little black and gray on it.
It was like longer hair, not like super short hair.
And it wasn't very friendly.
No.
And we thought, again, that we maybe could make it friendly, but it turned out to be a boy rabbit, so it never did get very friendly. I don't know what there is about boy rabbits, but they're not as friendly as they might be.
I kept
it in a kennel for a while and fed it, trying to tame it and make it be friendlier, but it didn't want to be. So then I let it go and figured it could just run around. I was a little worried that it would get in the garden and stuff, but it didn't seem to do any damage. What it wanted to do was live out with the sheep. And so it got so it hung out with the sheep, and when the sheep had lay down in a bunch, the rabbit would climb up and take a nap on top of the sheep. And it was the funniest thing. It was one of the funniest things ever. And I called it the sheepish rabbit. But it got so it would come up and take food from you, but it never got friendly enough so that it would let you pet it and cuddle it. It would let you touch it, but that was about all. And then it would go back out in the barnyard And it just hung out with the sheep all the time, and you would see the sheep out eating hay, and the rabbit would stand up, kind of stand up on its back haunches. Kit, I don't know how that's working as far as picking up my voice goes.
And it, try to just keep it still in one place, please.
It would eat, you'd see a sheep with some hay kind of stringing out of its mouth or falling out of its mouth a little bit, and the rabbit would get up on its hind legs and eat the parts of the hay that the sheep were letting trail down on the ground. And so they ate together all the time. It really liked
the
sheep's hay.
Did the rabbit eventually get eaten by a coyote or something?
I don't know what happened to the rabbit. It stayed around for exactly 1 year, and then it was gone. And it was a wild rabbit, so maybe it went to live someplace else where they had...
Is it still alive?
I have no idea. I don't know how long rabbits live.
I think maybe like tops 5 or 6 years.
So
they're not a long-lived.
It wasn't a large rabbit.
Maybe they live as long as tortoises.
No, probably not. I don't think their fur would last that long. But and I was always feeding, and I got it pellets at the store and things like that, and fed it pellets. But it ate hay with the sheep and really, really liked hanging around with the sheep. So
I remember you being
rabbit worried
about what the winter would be like for it. But yeah, it was fine during that one. It just hung out underneath the hay, right? Under the pallets or something?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Just kind of like the cats do out in the barnyard.
Yeah.
And anyway, let's see. I have a pretty good picture of it because Amanda took... Oh, it was when Amanda was here. So it had to be...
Oh, yeah. Within Charlie's life.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that she took a picture of it and put it in the fair. And so I have a good picture of it, the sheepish rabbit.
Yes. That was fun.
What?
We should have brought that and took a picture of it.
Oh, never even thought of it.
We can upload that later.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that leads into Sunny Bunny, right? Who
yes.
were on the rabbit's tails.
Oh, yes.
So, stop talking about rabbits.
Well, this is our last rabbit. So well, no, sweet. Because we have to tell Dax and Avery's rabbit story, too. Oh.
No, so, that one's sad.
Well, no, there's funny parts, though.
Yeah.
No, when I think, would it have been
you
when I was... sick so much that I took the day off with you and we got that rabbit, Pop?
Right. Yep.
Tonsillitis.
I had tonsillitis that whole year, and so one day Pop had to go. Oh, I had tonsils and they would get infections in them and I would get sick.
So bad sore throat, strep throat.
I was 8, I think.
I think so.
And I went with Pop. We were going to the sheep auction, I think.
Yeah, we took sheep.
To Smithfield. And was the rabbit at the auction?
No,
it was at a pet store. We stopped on the way back. And I met Sunny Bunny, which was a very, very black, 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 silky bunny.
Really shiny.
Very shiny, very pretty. And he was little. And Pop said, yeah, you can get this bunny for a pet. He'll take care of it. So we brought it home and we got it made it a cage and put it out in the barnyard. And he started out little and got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Why do we only have boy bunnies?
I don't know.
Because we didn't want to have a
We didn't want to have baby bunnies.
I guess so.
He was friendly at first, and then he didn't want to be held anymore after
then
that.
Then we have to tell the story about the wild rabbits around here, too.
Oh, yeah, we did have wild bunnies around here. But Sunny Bunny, I mean, the best story for me about Sunny Bunny isn't really about Sunny Bunny. It's about the winter day, and all of the neighborhood had been talking about a mountain lion sighting.
We gotta talk about our friendly neighborhood skunk.
Okay, we can talk about him later. There was a mountain lion. People in the neighborhood were talking about a mountain lion being around, and all of the kids in elementary school were talking about it, and I was terrified of it. My brother honed in on that. And Papa Bill asked me one night in the winter if I'd gotten Sunny Bunny's water because it would freeze in the winter, and if I didn't de-ice the water, then he couldn't get a drink, and it was my job because I had agreed to it, so I needed to go take care of the water. And I kind of had a fit and said, it's dark and I don't want to go out there, and Mom and Dad said, too bad, you need to go take care of your bunny. And Chris was listening on the outskirts of this conversation very attentively. So he snuck out while I was getting all bundled up to go out there. It wasn't really winter yet. I think it was fall. It wasn't snowy, but it was getting dark earlier. Mm-hmm. So while I was getting ready and getting my flashlight, he snuck out there and climbed onto the top of the haystack And I took my flashlight and I ran out there and I grabbed the water. It was cold enough that it was freezing enough. I needed to rinse it out. And I was starting to run back when I heard a noise up in the hayloft. And so I was terrified. And it made me freeze instead of run. And then he kept making noises. And he jumped down from the top of the hay. And I was sure it was mountain lion. And I was terrified, so scared. I started running and I couldn't see anything because I was running with my flashlight.
A goblin up in the haystack.
Well, in a minute. Anyway, I was running as fast as I could back and terrified out of my mind, and Chris thought he was pretty clever. He thought that that was real good.
Did you ever tell him that was bad?
Oh, they tried.
I discussed things like that with Christian a lot of times, but it just made him chuckle.
Yeah.
It still does.
Yeah.
He still does things like that to his own kids now. So.
Yeah, he talks about, like, there's trolls and, like, bad goblins and, like...
Yep. That's him.
Yeah, that's
bad
him.
Goblins and on the top of a haystack. That's
well, our rabbit, me and Avery's, I had this one rabbit named... What was its name?
Brownie. Yours was named Brownie.
Oh, yeah, and Avery's was named Electric. Ouch.
Oh.
No, just Electric.
Oh. That's right, I'd forgotten.
Electric and Brownie.
And we got it, and we got the cage from a diseased rabbit.
Well, I don't know if that's right. But the funny thing about those rabbits is that they figured out how to get out of that cage, too. We would take out a play fence, and we'd put them in there, and they'd play in the play fence and eat grass, and we'd move it around the yard, and you guys would climb in and play with the bunnies, and it was fun. But then they figured out how to escape out of there. And it was always at the most terrible time. We'd be leaving somewhere and realize the bunnies were out, and then I'd have to chase the bunnies because you guys would be flipping out that your bunnies were going to be lost. I'd have to chase them under the cars. But that's how I learned to catch bunnies, I think.
There we go. You were good at it. You were fast.
Yeah. And then Dax mentioned that we had, like, how many wild bunnies around here once?
20.
Yeah, somebody's bunny had babies, and they were just everywhere around. We'd see them all the time under the sheds, and they had a burrow under one of the sheds.
We should talk about Polly Ollie.
And Kyler would get paid to shoot them.
No, that was later, and that was not here. No. That was somewhere else.
The bunnies had a burrow under the shed.
Yes, they did.
I didn't know bunnies had burrows. I thought they had baby bunnies.
It was amazing. All right.
That's new to me.
How about the story? How about the Nana, Jan, and Papa Bill's story of the baby skunks?
Oh.
Let's talk about.
Oh, we're gonna do baby skunks right now, Kit.
Oh, okay. When Bonnie got married, and that's been 8 years, 8.5 years ago. But we had her reception, her wedding party out in the backyard. And so we had all kinds of people there and everything. And 2 days later. After the wedding party,
oh yeah,
all of a sudden there were these little skunks all over the yard, and they were little. They were the cutest things I'd ever seen, but they were all over the yard digging up worms and things like that to eat, and so I went out and was taking pictures of them, things like that, and I didn't quite dare touch them because I'd heard stories about. I kept thinking maybe baby skunks don't spray. But then I had heard stories that people thought that and it wasn't true. So I didn't quite dare touch them even though I wanted to. And some of them got down in the way. It turns out there were four of them. So there weren't dozens, but there were four little skunks going all over the yard and digging worms out of the flower bed and finding things to eat.
Did you ever find the mother?
No, the mother was gone. And
she abandoned them.
Anyway, I actually fed some of them milk in little dishes and stuff like that. I was worried about them not having anything to eat, and they would lap up the milk just like little kittens would. But they kind of went away one at a time. But it was just the thought of having... They were living in one of our sheds. And apparently the mother skunk had had them in the shed, and then something had happened to her, and these little skunks came out because they got hungry. And over the course of the summer, they just kind of disappeared one at a time, but they were so cute.
Well, they fell down into the window well, right?
Yeah, they'd get down in the window wells, and I'd put
a board for them
down there so they'd have a ramp to climb up out of the window wells, things like that. So I was kind of always taking care of some little animals.
Yes.
But the idea of having skunks 2 days after the wedding in our yard.
Yeah.
I just could imagine all kinds of scenarios where that could have been
chaos really ensues unpleasant. When the skunks walk out for the wedding.
Yes. Well, they were all dressed in their tuxedos.
Yeah, that's right.
Why? They were the only ones that were dressed in tuxedos.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Okay. Kay. That was our little skunk story.
And then our skunk story of this past 2 weeks is that a few days after Christmas, I looked out the window and I saw some movement. Yeah, and there was I thought it was a kitty cat, and then I looked again and there was a skunk waddling along beside the fence.
Here we are.
In the middle of the day.
Beside the, in the middle of winter.
In the middle of the day, in the middle of winter.
Yeah, a confused skunk just hanging out. And he lives here now. We have seen several sightings of him, and the most exciting was when the preschool mom. He's been going in the culverts.
And then Trapo found out he was going in a shed, so he never closed the door, shed door, because he thought he was going to shut in the.
Oh, he didn't want to trap the skunk inside the shed.
Mm-hmm. But so that's why he didn't shut a door.
That's right. And one day at preschool last week, a mom snuck in. Oh, please don't do that right next to the crock punch. Scoot over a little. A mom snuck into the preschool about 10 minutes before preschool. The kids were supposed to be dismissed and said, I don't think it's a good idea for you to let all these kids out because there's a skunk right in front of the preschool. And then we looked outside, and there he was, waddling along all around the front of the preschool. The kids thought it was great. We've never seen a skunk before. This is amazing. So then I texted all the moms and said, please come in and get your child because I don't dare let all the kids out. Nobody got sprayed by some miracle, but we're waiting for somebody to.
Oh, dear.
Don't wait for it. Don't wait for it. Just like it while it lasts.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It is cute. Okay, Papa Bill.
Well,
how did
we thought we'd we oh, better ahead. Talk about Abby.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about Abby.
Let's talk about Polly
really
Ollie.
Little,
listen about Abby. You've never
when
heard
your
about
mom
Abby.
Was really little.
Like 18 months old and younger.
Yes.
Sitting in the high chair.
A lady that I worked with at Utah State that trained dogs decided that she was going to take a job somewhere else, and she asked me, she said, I am looking for a family to leave my border collie with. And I'd seen this border collie and loved it. It was a beautiful red and white border collie. And she brought it over to the house to see if the family was going to work out. And after the dog was there and everybody got to pet the dog and enjoy the dog, including your mom. Then she said, I think this will be a great home. We'll leave Abby with you. And so Abby was with us for the time your mom was like that to after, during Sunny Bunny's time, probably till your mom was 8 or 9 or something.
Do you remember?
I was going to guess around 7 or 8.
I think it was 89.
Well,
I think
that would have made me 8, 89. So that would have made me 8.
Right. It was just after Bonnie, because Bonnie was probably.
It was probably about the same time.
She was little, but she didn't remember Abby.
Yeah.
So anyway, Abby was just a fun dog, and she never, hardly ever barked. And she.
Did you go hunting with her?
She lived in the house.
She was not a hunting dog. She was a border collie, so she had long hair, but beautiful hair.
But she didn't bark much, and she didn't obey. Well, I think she did obey voice commands, but she looked for hand signs. So when you put your hand like this, she watched you and she sat. And if you went like this, she laid down. If you went like this, she moved to the left. If you went like this, she moved to the right. And so she was trained on hand signs. And so she was a fun dog to have around. She didn't.
She was so good tempered. I mean, I remember just laying on her. Yep. I would just go over. She would lay in front of the windows. That's what she liked to lay in front of the windows in the front. And I would just go lay my head on her, and she liked the attention. She did not. She liked me, and you
That's
always tell about
Lexi.
Me feeding her, right?
Yes, when you'd be in the high chair, and I know why you don't like bananas, because I fed you so many bananas when you were a baby. But you'd be sitting in the high chair, and she would come up and just, she was quite a large border collie, and she would just sit on her haunches right next to the high chair. She never, ever, she never begged, and she never got up on furniture or anything. But she would just stand there by you and look at you with these big brown eyes, and you would hand her a piece of banana, and she would eat it, and then you would hand her something else, and so you would have your lunch and feed Abby too.
Mm-hmm.
She loved bananas.
I was happy to share.
And she was great with a frisbee.
Oh, she was fun to play frisbee with.
She was really good, and she knew
she'd jump high.
And she knew how to go. She knew right from left, so she would run and then run around you from the left to the left or to the right, and then go out and catch the frisbee. She was really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And
now she died?
She did. She lived till she was about 12, which is pretty old for a collie.
Yep, she was a good dog.
She was lovely. And she didn't bark to go outside, but if she needed to go out to use the bathroom, she would, in the morning, early, she would just come in and lay her chin on our bed and just look at us until we woke up, and we'd suddenly be nose to nose with this big brown-eyed dog, and she would just go smile and look at us with her big eyes, and that meant that we had to get up and let her out for a few minutes.
It's time.
She was amazing, and it was fun to go walking with her because she had a big tail that curled up over her back and made a white plume
like
that just went back and forth. And
what color
was beautiful.
She
was red and white.
Well, red, kind of like red hair, but not red like a red Valentine.
Yeah, auburn.
She was like red orange. Brown,
mm-hmm.
brownish red and white, and she was beautiful. But
she
had
a
real big plumy tail, and when she'd walk out in front of me going down the canal.
Now
back,
let's talk about
Polly
Ollie.
Oh, Polly Ollie. Okay.
No, just Polly, sorry.
The best dog in the world.
Yep. Okay, we can tell the story of the worst rooster. Well, that will lead into the other rooster.
Okay.
Well, when Avery was
about
three, four,
they had at the 24th of July celebration, they had all of these different events to catch a bunny or to catch a chicken or to catch all kinds of things. And Avery won the chicken. We didn't know if it was a rooster or a chicken right then. It hadn't grown into itself yet. So we caught it and brought it home, but it was a rooster. He named
it
Polly.
Didn't Dad catch it?
Maybe Dad caught it. Avery wanted it, though. Avery really wanted it. So Dad caught it, and it was Avery's chicken. And we brought it home, and it turned out to be a rooster named Polly because he'd already named it Polly. And he hung out around the yard, and it was fine until he started attacking Kit. So
my ankles.
He would just run for you. He would just knock you down.
Yeah, but Dax and Avery were like capable, so they would
yeah,
just like
Dax
run.
And Avery could get away from it or, you know, swat at it or something, but not you. You were 18 months old, and it thought
I
you
would just
were
like
funny
sit
to
down
knock
on
down.
The grass, and then I would just
he
like
would attack you.
And then he would like bite onto my ankles and totally bleed.
I think you're making things up, but it did definitely attack you. So we let it go live with a different farm somewhere.
Roosters are not the very best pets in the world.
Yeah, they don't.
When I was 10.
Bubblegum is the best, though.
Well, bubblegum's even kind of being mean.
Charlie's ankles.
Yeah.
I had, somebody brought us a couple of little chicks for
Logan.
Easter.
Logan, calm down, buddy.
When they're little, you can't tell if they're hens or roosters, but one of them died. We named them Pat and Jerry because the people that gave them to us names were Pat and Jerry. They were friends of my sister Cheryl's. And Jerry died, and then Pat became mine because I was the one taking care of this chick, And then when he grew big enough to start getting his comb and his feathers, we could tell that he was a rooster, so we named him, I named him Patrick. So he must have been my second very own pet, because yes. I was 10 by this time. And we had a little kind of a coop shed thing that I kept outside on the grass, and that's where, and it had chicken wire over it. We put chicken wire over it, and that's where I kept him until one day in the summer I got up and went out, and he was just getting feathers, so he wasn't a chick anymore, but he wasn't a big yet. And a weasel or something had gotten in with him and chewed his neck, and it was just really awful. And I thought he was dead, and I cried and cried and cried, and I had to go to primary, and I cried all during primary. When I got home, I looked at him and realized he wasn't dead yet. So I started taking care of him and cleaned up his wound and fed him with an eyedropper, and everybody held it against me for the rest of my life, because he lived to be a very, very old rooster, and he wasn't any friendlier than any of the other roosters. He would come and bite our ankles and make them bleed. And so every time we went out of the house, we had to carry a broom with us, except for my dad, and he got along really well with my dad. My dad would carry him around the barnyard under his arm and pet him, pet his feathers, and they were great friends. But he lived to be an old, I think he lived till, I was 10 then, and I think he lived until I was 16 or 17.
That's
when I was
pretty good.
And I don't think chickens really live that long very often. And Charlie has a pet rooster named Bubblegum, but they didn't know that was a rooster either until he grew into being a rooster. And so I'm not quite sure why we get all these roosters. But,
roosters and male bunnies. Who knows?
Yes.
We don't have roosters, but only pheasants.
We have pheasants, you're right.
I don't think they bite you.
Papa Bill, what was the first pet you ever had?
A snake.
No, that was a different story, but.
Well, I don't know, because we had lots of pets. But I think that the pet that I had that was most interesting was, I told the mink story already, didn't I? Here, about catching the mink down on the
land. Did you tell that in an interview, or did you just tell Dax that? I can't remember. It might have been in an interview a few years ago.
But there was a wild mink. My buddy Larry and I were another Larry.
What Larry?
There are so many Larrys.
Anyway, he was a man that was named after
him. Yes. Anyway, this Larry was my friend when Larry was younger. Anyway, we'll get off the Larry story and back on the mink. But we were down there on a river that was near our house, but smaller than the Bear River. And we were looking for fish, doing fishing, just like you guys do. And we saw this mink jump around. And I told my buddy Larry that I'm going to catch that mink. And he just laughed.
Right? Avery just asked what a mink is. So could you tell what a mink is?
A weasel. Have you ever seen a weasel that's
They're skinny.
Weasels are like squirrels.
Yeah, they're skinny.
Yeah, they're chipmunks.
They're skinny, and only they're longer. They get to be about a foot to 18 inches long.
Like a ferret.
There you go.
Kind of a ferret, right.
They're related.
A ferret, or very closely related.
They have very silky fur.
The chase began, and for a long time I chased it, but I caught it. And other than biting my finger, I was able to hold on to it. And I took it up to the where the car is. I said, "Get me something quick." And he got a burlap bag out of the back of his car. And I threw it in the bag. He grabbed the top, and there was no bottom in the bag. And the mink went right out the bottom, went right back over the river, down to the river, and I went right after it again. And Larry said, "No, we're never going to get it." And I got down there and couldn't find it, and there was a guy fishing off the dam down there. And I said, "Have you seen a weasel-like thing, a mink around here?" And he says, "Yeah, just right over there in those roots." And I could see its tail hanging out. And I snuck up around the tree and reached down and grabbed its tail and pulled it out and swung it around. So it was kind of like,
he's like disoriented.
It and said, "Larry, you got to get something for me that will hold this thing." And he found this box, and we jammed it in there. And I went home and built this cage for it, and had it for a number of years. But it did just like Grandma's bunny did. It, after a while, it ate through the box and got out, which I was glad, because it was a wild animal anyway. It should be in the wild.
It was a weasel, kind of related.
But it was a pet. You didn't want to. It's kind of like the skunks. You don't want to pet skunks. You don't want to pet mink. And you don't want to pet roosters.
Was that in Ohio?
Yeah, it was in Ohio.
Sharp teeth.
Yeah, it's
okay.
I didn't come out here until I was out of high school.
Can you tell us about how you got the pet raccoons in Ohio?
Oh, and we had numbers of pet raccoons because raccoons would nest anywhere. And when I took Grandma to Ohio to meet Grandma and Grandpa Varga a long time ago, Grandpa Varga said to me, because I was always getting animals, he said, we have a nest of raccoons and I don't want them in the greenhouse. And so I had to climb up in the top of this area that was kind of an enclosure above part of the greenhouse and get these raccoons out of there. But one of them that I got out, since Grandma was there visiting, I said, well, let's see what we can do with this. But we didn't know how to take care of it because we didn't have milk and stuff. So we fed it Werner's ginger ale.
And it loved it.
It came to us and it got to really like us because of the Werner's ginger ale. But anyway, Grandma went home and the whole rest of the summer, I just let it go. And finally, it would just go out. And, thank you. It would go out in the wild, but when it wanted some Werner's ginger ale, it would come back to the greenhouse and come in the greenhouse and go,
open the fridge?
Yeah. I mean, it would come back, hey. And finally, nobody would, after I left for the Air Force, nobody would feed it Werner's ginger ale. So it would come in, and when my sister would be watering in the greenhouse, she'd hold the hose down for it like a water fountain,
drinking fountain.
And it would come in and take a drink and look at her and then go back out. And it did that for a number of years afterwards because it loved Werner's. I don't know who else.
Everybody needs to say what they want.
Well, wait, Punchy. I want you to listen to this story that Nana Jen has to tell before this ends. It says we have 13 minutes left, but we need to hear about cows on Christmas.
Oh.
What's cows on Christmas?
Cows on Christmas. Well, that's not exactly a pet story, but
it's an animal story, though. Story. Yeah.
Yes. And when was this? Andrea was in college, and she was home for Christmas, and...
I would guess 1997 or 1998, or maybe earlier than that, 1996.
But we'd had Christmas, and we'd had Christmas morning, and we'd had Christmas dinner, and we'd had Robin's Christmas birthday, and we were... Andrea was washing the dishes at the sink, and all of a sudden she said, I don't even remember what she said, but she had us look out the windows, and there were all of these cows, black and white cows, a lot of black and white cows, just looking right in the windows at us, putting their noses right up on the windows and looking at us. And
with horns, big horns.
Oh, did they have big horns? I don't remember.
Sorensen's cattle.
Oh, yeah, but I was thinking that they were Holsteins, just black and white cows.
Oh, these were big Brahma bulls.
Maybe I made that part up because I wrote a story about it. Yeah. But anyway, we went outside and they were just all around the house. And there was deep snow.
Yes.
So they were wading through the deep snow right up at the house. I don't know whether they wanted us to feed them. Well, probably they wanted us to feed them. But there were cows from across the canal that come across the bridge, I guess.
It was anything water had been frozen, so they just came down through and came up the other side.
Did you give them water?
We did. Well, in the story, I think we gave them chocolate milk, but
in real life
we went out with our brooms and shoot them away.
Go on, move on, cows.
Was it a story about this?
Yeah, Nana wrote a story.
But it was quite an interesting finish to our Christmas day because we were cleaning up and doing the dishes and all of a sudden all of these big cows were looking right in the windows at us. Maybe they could smell what we'd had for dinner, I don't know, or maybe Sorensen's hadn't fed them yet because it was evening and trying to get
and Christmas.
And we were out looking for something.
It's quite interesting compared to all the sky blackening on Christmas afternoon when the turkeys flew into over the house and went.
Oh, yes, we've had turkeys on Christmas. And I'd forgotten. Talk about interesting animal stories. We've had a lot of turkeys. And then we've often had Sorensen's bulls in our yard, not for Christmas necessarily, but just coming in to see if they could go
get
some hay out of the barn or something, and you don't necessarily want to go after a big bull with a broom.
No, they have some scary bulls sometimes.
Yeah, they do sometimes. So We haven't had that happen in a while. Time is running out. We've had it happen more than once.
Yes. Well, I think we would be amiss if we didn't mention some of the very best kitty cats that we've had.
Oh.
Over there's, and Grandma Fuzzy comes to mind.
She was a wonderful cat.
What about Orange Jew?
He was really good too. Don't remember Grandma Fuzzy because she was when I was Kit's age. And
what
younger.
About Nova?
Let's talk about Grandma Fuzzy. Because Grandma Fuzzy, she had a very short tail. She was a gray cat with long hair and a teeny tiny stub minx tail.
A minx?
And she was the friendliest, sweetest cat. She just loved to be petted and loved attention, but she couldn't have kittens, right?
She had one batch of kittens.
Okay.
And then we had her spayed. And then after that, when we had cats that had kittens, she would nurse the other cat's kittens and take care of them.
Yeah, she became the grandma to all the kittens. Yes. She was the mom cat. She didn't care. She wanted to have kittens, so she would. We had other mama cats that weren't as good of mamas, and so Grandma Fuzzy would adopt them.
She was quite a wonderful cat. She was with us for quite a long while, I think.
Yeah, she was around for a long time.
Orange Julius.
Orange Julius we got when I was probably 11 or 12.
Okay, Ma. Okay, Dad. Okay.
One of Bridger's friends had kittens. And so we went over there and we brought Orange Julius home. And he was cute as can be. He was a long-haired orange cat. We named him Orange Julius, and Papa Bill and he had kind of not the best relationship because Orange Julius would pee in his slippers.
That wasn't the best
family. But he was a really good cat. But one time he got caught in a rainstorm.
Yes, he didn't like to go outside. He was a house cat.
Yeah.
And one time he sneaked out and it was raining and he just got drenched.
He was like a drowned rat. We had to bring him in and dry him off and blow dry him. And
he never went out again, I don't think.
I don't think he did. He did not.
And he lived till he was 19 years old.
He was an old cat. You should tell about Frankie talking to Bridger.
Oh, that was a good story. Frankie was the other cat that we had when we had Orange Julius, and
she was Siamese.
She was Siamese.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And Andrea.
Oh, what about the flat-faced one?
We can tell about Nibbles and Bites, but that's not really a great story. Anyways, let's talk about Frankie.
Mom, we only have like 8 more minutes.
I know.
Well, Andrea brought please her just home get once. On. She was in college, and she was in a play with somebody that I'd been to school with that went over to the vets on the weekends and took care of the animals at the vets at the animal hospital on the weekends. And this cat had been brought in, and she was a young cat, and she was beautiful Siamese with bright blue eyes. And
very dark tail and a dark face.
Yes, and so Andrea kind of adopted her and brought her home. And she was named Frankie because Frank Sinatra was known as Old Blue Eyes. And so Annette, the lady that had rescued her, kind of named her Frankie. But she was she was friendly.
She was kind of stuck up, though.
She was very stuck up. Yeah, that's probably the right word for it. And she was very bossy, and she was dominant. And she lived till she was 19 years old. But
She and Julie shared the house, but Julie was not dominant. He was like a pushover. Anyway.
Frankie. It's kind of funny that the girl was named Frankie and the boy was named Julie. But anyway. Fit them. Frankie and Bridger were best friends. They were really, really, really best friends. And Bridger went on a mission to Korea, and he was supposed to call on Christmas, and the phone rang, and we were all waiting for this call on Christmas, and the phone rang, and then...
Wasn't it before the phone rang that she went over and started chattering at the phone?
It rang, and I picked it up, and I could tell it was a foreign call, but it didn't go all the way through. And so I hung it up again, and in a little while, Frankie went over and got right under the telephone. The telephone was on the wall.
That's how telephones were back then, guys. They were mounted on the wall with a cord, and they were hooked into the building.
You know how telephones
I just thought I'd let you know.
And Frankie stood up on her hind legs and looked at the telephone and started going,
She did.
And I'd never seen her do that before, and I never saw her do it afterward. And just when she finished that chattering, the phone rang, and it was Bridger calling from Korea.
It was crazy.
It was really kind of wild.
Look at this.
So yeah. That was an interesting cat story.
What about the flat-faced one?
Oh, Nibbles and Bites.
Oh, he wasn't with us for very long, but one of Bridger's friends, he had come to live in her garage, and her parents wouldn't let them have a cat, and so he, Nibbles and Bites, came over to our house, but he was not a friendly cat. He was a flat-faced Himalayan, is that what they
call it? Obnoxious.
What kind of a...
Persian.
Persian. And he was not a friendly cat, and that's why we named him Nibbles and Bites, because that's what he did, was nibble and bite. And so he wasn't nice, and he would climb up on the house and climb up on the window screens and try to pull the window screens off. And so I took him over to my folks' farm, thinking that he could be a farm cat and catch mice. And I can't remember how much longer, and that's a mile and a half or 2 miles.
Over the Mulatta River.
Over the freeway.
Yeah.
Or over the highway. And after a number of days, he showed up back at our house. And so we did it again, and this time it only took him 2 days to get back to our house. And nobody liked him very much, and I don't even know what finally happened.
I don't remember.
Maybe he got tired of us not loving him because he
moved on his own. Well, we only have 3 minutes left, so let's end on Pirate's Ghost.
Oh, Pirate's Ghost. My goodness, you better talk about Pirate's Ghost.
Well, how long was Pirate's Ghost around for? A long time, huh, Dad?
Let's just get on with the story.
Okay, Pirate's Ghost was a faded, faded old cat. He was kind of
yellow.
Like a yellow, very, very light yellow color, like butter yellow. And he had long fur, but he was not handsome because he'd been around for a long time and he'd been through a lot. So, and he just would skirt around the yard. He didn't want to be close to people at first.
Under the culverts from the fields sometimes.
Yeah, he'd been out on his own for a long time, just hunting mice for years, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But he started coming around the farm, and because we fed cats here, so he could, after the cats had eaten, if there was any food left, he could go find the little bits left and eat some of the food. I'm sure that's why he was around. But we called him Pirate's Ghost because he was ghosty around the yard. It wasn't, like, you'd just see him through the corner of your eye. You'd see him skirting past the fences or wherever. But then he realized it was a friendly place to be, so he got a little more...
And he would come up to the back porch.
Yeah.
And
he got more bold.
So are you going to tell the part?
Yeah, this is the whole reason I'm telling the story.
Okay.
So Ethan was three, and Pirate's Ghost had been around for a while and had gotten friendlier, and he was up on the back porch hoping for handouts. Okay. And Ethan was three, and Ethan came out the back porch.
And always loved cats.
And loved cats. He saw Pirate's Ghost. None of us touched that cat because you didn't want to touch him if you saw him.
He was unpleasant.
No, and smelling. And Ethan grabbed that cat by the back of its tail, and the cat didn't want to be touched. Well, he kept a hold of it, and the cat ran. And Ethan kept the tail.
Oh, he kept it. He had like half the tail.
About 3 inches of it.
Oh.
Because Pirate's Ghost had this kinked tail, and he'd walk around with this kinked tail. So obviously it had been broken at some point. And it wasn't hanging on by much. So all it took was a 3-year-old taking a hold of it. And then we had a piece of a tail on the farm.
Ethan's mom never got over it.
Oh, my word.
Oh, boy. That is not going to be good.
Well, it didn't.
But the pretty bad thing.
End off on Nova. No, what is this Russian blue we got?
It didn't hurt Pirate's Ghost at all because it was a dead tail. It was a piece of dead tail.
Hair probably.
Yes, it was gross. Okay, I think that's a wrap. We're out of time. So
cat still stay around.
Yeah.
He stayed around. He just had a 2/3 of a tail instead of a 3/3.
Okay. Bye bye. See you guys. Bye bye.
We could do this interview again and have a whole new set of stories. So. Alrighty. Okay.
See you again.
It was. Oh.